Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start with the Super Bowl champions.
Chiefs!
It took Patrick Mahomes 7 minutes to eviscerate Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 54. In the time it takes to boil a half dozen eggs, Mahomes turned a 10-point fourth quarter deficit into a 31-20 Kansas City Chiefs romp. The darts he unspooled to Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins changed the course of NFL history. In the course of those 420 seconds, Garoppolo went from likely Super Bowl MVP to question mark as San Fran's long-term quarterback. Andy Reid transformed from best coach to never win a Super Bowl to the best coach of his era, not named Bill Belichick. And Mahomes? It's difficult to say where his rocket ship might land. The Steph Curry of the NFL is a title way too small for Mahomes. Mahomes might be the NFL's Tiger Woods, a mixed-race messiah every sports fan can relate to. Here's something else that happened in those 7 minutes, something we might have missed amid the confetti and the race to exalt Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes significantly dimmed the spotlight shining on Lamar Jackson. The NFL's newly anointed MVP, the quarterback who defined the 2019 regular season. Those 7 magical minutes on Sunday redefined the 2019 NFL season. They remade Lamar's regular season into a footnote about Mahomes' rise to the top of the sports world. This whole thing reminds me of Johnny Gill joining New Edition. A lot of people think Johnny replaced Bobby Brown. Truth is, Johnny was brought in because Ralph Tresvant, the group's lead singer, said he was launching a solo career, and then Ralph changed his mind once they signed Johnny. In 1988, New Edition released their Heartbreak album. Johnny sang mostly backup. The first single was If It Isn't Love, with Ralph doing the lead vocals. Great song. Heartbreak went double platinum. But the album is really remembered for 2 songs, Can You Stand the Rain and Boys to Men. Johnny Gill dominates both of those songs. I'm not calling Lamar Jackson Ralph Tresvant. What I'm saying is, when you have talent like Johnny Gill and Patrick Mahomes, you can change the course of history instantly and diminish the exceptional work of others without even trying. In the aftermath of Super Bowl 54 and Mahomes' dramatic postseason run of overcoming deficits of 24, 17, and 10 points, Lamar Jackson doesn't look as bright and shiny as he did at Christmas. The knock on Lamar and Baltimore's offense is, what would happen if the Ravens trailed? Could they rally? We know beyond a reasonable doubt that Mahomes and the Chiefs can stand the rain. The Ravens and Lamar, prepare for any heartbreak. They're constructed to play with the lead. They fell behind Tennessee in the divisional round and couldn't recover. I ended the regular season believing we had entered a new era for NFL quarterbacks. I thought quarterbacks who run it better than they throw it could be nearly as valuable as a gunslinger. I don't think that anymore. Not after Patrick Mahomes' fourth quarter in the Super Bowl. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NFL analysts LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks. Marcellus.
Yes, sir.
Did Patrick Mahomes take some shine off Lamar's historic season?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, because he raised the bar. And if you look at what we're going to deem as excellence in today's era of NFL quarterback, Patrick Mahomes said, just moved it up another notch. And it's up to you now, going into your third year, Lamar Jackson, to step up to that new standard. But I also love the fact that Patrick Mahomes put some shine on Lamar Jackson and even trying to say, I want the best out of you in this era of NFL quarterbacks. A real competitor, the dog in Patrick Mahomes said, I'm not the only one in this race because I want to build this up. When you race somebody, when you go light pole to light pole in front of grandma's house, you don't want that dude talking about his shoes untied, his ankles hurt, his hamstrings sore. You want him at his best, because when you beat him at his best, you know you're the best. So I love the dog in Patrick Mahomes who says, I'm not the only one who may be at this finish line. It may be a photo finish, but I trust in my abilities and my excellence. Let's go get it.
Oh, man, this This is one where I think they've just elevated everything, because what the NFL is seeing is a revolution at the quarterback position. If you just paid attention to what happened over the weekend and you just hear who won the accolades, Kyler Murray, Rookie of the Year. Lamar Jackson, MVP. Pat Mahomes, Super Bowl MVP. Mm. What we're saying, in basketball terms, we no longer want shooters. We want scores. Yeah. We want guys who can go get buckets. At quarterback, it's not about the pocket passers. It's about the guys who can make plays. Nah, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they've only elevated the position and changed the way that we will go out and look for quarterbacks going forward.
Bucky, I think you made a hell of a point. But I want you to answer my question. Did Patrick Mahomes take the shine off Lamar's historic season?
No, not at all. I don't think he took the shine at all. Everyone already raved about Pat Mahomes. He won the MVP a season ago. His success in the postseason only changes the way that we look at the quarterback. We now see these athletic playmakers making plays. Because make no mistake, Mahomes showed an added dimension of his game this postseason when he ran around. I think the two of them have changed the way that we view the position.
You know, I'm echoing what Bucky said. I don't think he takes the shine directly off of Lamar. Whenever you had a type of game and playoff run that Mahomes has had, you're going to take the shine away, in theory, away from every other quarterback that isn't competing or didn't win the Super Bowl. But I look at Lamar as Lamar took the regular season shine away from Mahomes. And we got so caught up into talking about the Lamar train, Lamar, 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 that I think that when we got back to the playoffs and when it started to kind of pan out, work itself out, we ended up finding our way back to the original point that everybody was making coming into the season, which was we look at Patrick Mahomes as a guy that's, you know, going to evolve the position. So I don't think he took the shine directly off of Lamar. If anything, that shine that was already there that we were talking about with Patrick Mahomes, and most of it going towards, well, why isn't he achieving at the level that he did last year during the regular season, only found its way back to him after answering all the questions for himself, for his coach, for his franchise, winning that Super Bowl.
Y'all have both made some excellent points that I hadn't thought of in terms of this, and Marcellus right there with the
finally
competition elevates everyone involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there is going to be a competition between these two. However, I do think we know who Usain Bolt is. Mm-hmm. And Lamar may be Carl Lewis or whoever the competitors are for the greatest sprinter of all time. But I guess the difference for me is I left the regular season like, oh, my God, this whole running quarterback thing, I need to rethink how I think about running quarterbacks. And I'm now back to my original position. Patrick Mahomes has taken me there. I like quarterbacks who run the ball or move in the pocket to throw the ball. That's what John Elway always was to me, and that's where I see Patrick Mahomes. And so I think that there are people, you can see it any way you want to see it. Bill Polian can be sitting there, I was right, it's the pocket quarterback. That's what Patrick Mahomes proved. And others can see it, nah, this ain't really a pocket quarterback. This is a guy that mixes moving and passing the best we've ever seen it together in combination. And Lamar is still a guy that probably runs it better than he throws it. But you can win with either guy. The other guy just hasn't proved he can win in the postseason.
Yeah, one thing we're doing that's unfair to Lamar is judging him by a third year Patrick Mahomes in his second year, because his evolution, we saw from year one to year two, if he makes that leap again, good Lord, what's going to happen to him and the Baltimore Ravens, who are second to only the Chiefs in Super Bowl odds going forward next year. To me, there's two things at play. It's a classic game of chicken where we're really seeing two cars that's really going to collide. Sooner or later, they're going to collide in the playoffs, the AFC championship game, and everything's going to be on the line. But more importantly, if you look at it, this takes me back to my favorite era in track and field when Carl Lewis was dominating. Mm. And then Ben Johnson showed up. Mm. And we were like, uh-oh, these are two different animals at the same sport in the same event. Ben Johnson said, I'm going to get out with nitrous and then hold on. Carl Lewis said, you better get out because here I come. And we sat there holding our breath the entire 9-10 seconds to watch that game of chicken occur. To me, I look at Patrick Mahomes as the most talented quarterback at the position. Mm. But I look at Lamar as having the most talents at that same position. There's a difference because you got to look at attributes. You got to look at it by line items. And if you want to go into how this is going to play forward, if Lamar evolves like Patrick has evolved and Lamar evolved last year, this race is far from over.
I say, why can't we appreciate this for what it is? Mm. This is the hip-hop version of the Brady-Manning rivalry that we see coming. In the AFC, these teams will have to face each other. These two quarterbacks will have to have shootouts to determine who goes to the championship year after year. This is exactly what the NFL needed. They needed to see a new school version of quarterback rivalries where we now have that. Lamar and Pat Mahomes going face to face.
Let's say this is the new version. Let's don't kid ourselves about the old version. Manning would do things, and you'd be, oh, that took some shine off Tom Brady. Manning is one. Brady would do something, oh, that took some shine off of Peyton Manning. And all I'm saying is right now, it's Patrick Mahomes has put him in check. I mean, now it's time for the counter move.
Look, that's
the juice. Right. Yeah. He got the juice. He's Tupac right now. He has the juice.
But Bucky,
but it may not be
let's
for
be
long.
Real. Peyton Manning sunned Tom Brady all the time. Tom Brady showed up with his boys and always got it even. And then they would win the battles. Young Tom Brady was not touching Peyton Manning. What happened was we got a Randy Moss. And finally, you got one dog that could finally make it a Marvin Harrison-Peyton Manning connection. And we saw Tom Brady flex. But for most of those encounters, it was Peyton Manning showing up solo and had to go against the whole crew of Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots. Unfair comparison.
Super Bowl Sunday set a different tone for this conversation because one now has a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP to the other not. So when I look at it, and we're using track terms, and you mentioned Usain Bolt, it wouldn't be Carl Lewis. It would be Justin Gatlin. Ooh. Now, here's what's interesting about Justin Gatlin. He was a winner. He just never beat Usain in the big race.
To the end, the very end.
For a gold medal.
And then you say retired.
That was not for a gold medal, though. He never beat him when the Olympics were on the line.
Right.
To me, right now, when I look at this, the reason why it doesn't take shine off of Lamar in this situation is Lamar still has to prove he's a winner. I mean, all intents and purposes, he won the regular season. That's great. But when those games were really on the line, he didn't get it done, and now this is 2 years in a row. Listen, he has the time to grow. This is not an indictment on him of not being good enough to get to the big game. But now, after Sunday, the question has been answered by Mahomes. It has yet to be answered by Lamar.
Let's stay in track. AccuTrack, you know, photo finish, it goes straight down the line. It doesn't say, oh, you had a head start or you didn't. Mm. Everybody starts same time, everybody finish same time. Patrick Mahomes came up short his first 2 years. Mm. First year, you ain't even get off the bench behind Alex Smith. We could paint that story and make it as positive as we want, but you didn't get off the bench. And we saw Lamar Jackson did, and he helped that team that was losing almost every game win every game. Then the second year, he comes up short in the playoffs, in part his running back's hurt, in part they're compromised. And look, he's at the same place basically as Lamar Jackson. And
he didn't play well.
You know what's so funny about that? He had 500 total yards in a loss, didn't play well.
It's funny, like
Patrick Mahomes was the MVP with touchdowns of 5, 1 yard, and 1 yard, and got outplayed by Jimmy Garoppolo.
A Super Bowl champ.
Okay,
and again,
that's Tom Brady again.
That's where we are.
You fall behind, you put up a lot of numbers. That's why Dak Prescott got a bunch of yards.
That is
Jameis
true.
Winston got a bunch of yards.
I give you some of that. But 500 in a loss, let's not clown.
500 total.
In a loss.
I agree, but just like Peyton Manning had some questions about, hey, man, can this dude get it done in the biggest game?
For real?
And we asked those questions, and I was one of the main people. I was a Peyton Manning critic. He's a choker. Again, those same things apply to Lamar. He came into the postseason with what everybody believed was clearly the best team in football.
At the time.
And they didn't get it done. Derrick Henry took them out. They fell behind. He put up some numbers, but he didn't do the necessary things for them to win that game.
In his first year as a starter.
Second year. This is
No. First year is a full-time starter. Off-season, this is my I'm not playing in Joe Flacco's system. Y'all going to hold the Chargers loss in the playoffs year one as a rookie against them? And then we're going to say this one. It's his first year as a full-time starter. Did Patrick Mahomes win a Super Bowl in his first
year? No, he won a playoff game and played in the AFC Championship.
He got league MVP.
Yeah, but, and he got, D Ford cost him playing in the Super Bowl last year.
Who was the only unanimous MVP outside of Tom Brady? I forget.
This shouldn't be framed as an argument to diminish Lamar Jackson's accomplishments. It merely should be looked at in the way of saying he now has to answer the question Mahomes has answered.
That's why I say it's the hip-hop version of Brady versus Manning. Mm. Like, you can go back and forth. You can make it a situation where, look, you praise Mahomes for winning the thing. But look, Lamar Jackson outplayed him for the entire regular season. Like, we have to call that what it is. Yep. That's why he got the unanimous MVP. So now everyone would go back to their respective corners, and next year they come out boxing.
Hawking Biggie out here. Yeah. Just go to war.
I hope it ain't that.
Every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have no idea whether the alarm is real. Is there really a crime going on or not? All the alarm company can tell them is the motion sensor went off. SimpliSafe Home Security is different. There's a break-in. SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself, no tools needed, or SimpliSafe can do it for you. It's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Visit simplisafe.com/speak. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure you go to simplisafe.com/speak so they know our show sent you. That's simplisafe.com/speak.
Bucky Brooks is back. We're joined now by Super Bowl champion Brady Papinga. Time now for a big story. Let's move to New England, where Tom Brady's future is still up in the air, but it's starting to sound like the Patriots are going to make a strong push to keep him. According to multiple reports from the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Patriots reporter Tom Curran, the team is willing to pay Brady in excess of $30 million per year to keep the 42-year-old quarterback in Foxborough. Would it be a mistake to pay Brady $30 million?
If that check is getting cashed in Foxborough, yeah, it's a mistake. If it's getting cashed in L.A., then it's not a mistake. He's not worth $30 million with the New England Patriots. It's a problem. They don't have a roster that will support Tom Brady making that amount of money with the weapons that they possess. I don't know who they could get. You can't trot Edelman back out there and say, I have a $30 million, 43-year-old quarterback with Julian Edelman playing wide receiver at the number one position, potentially. I don't see this roster being constructed for Tom Brady to take that money there. Take the money in L.A. They have the roster. They have the wide receivers. They have the running back. They have the talent that you need. Yes, he's worth that amount of money, but not in New England.
I can't believe Bill Belichick would really sign off on this because he's built their franchise on it being a meritocracy. And anyone who looked at Tom Brady last year, look, we talked about it. I came up here and said he was the worst quarterback in the playoffs. How can you reward the worst quarterback in the playoffs with a $30 million payday? He's not going to improve your team without the assistance of really an overhaul receiver core that you can't upgrade with the money going to him. It is a major mistake if the New England Patriots do it. To me, it says that they're beginning to do business a different way, and it also means it's the beginning of the end of the Patriots as we know it.
One thing you got to remember, Bucky, is Belichick has his lifers. And if you remember Teddy Bruschi, he was one of his lifers. Bill Belichick called him a perfect player. And he held on to Teddy Bruschi for at least two more years after he was beyond being functional as a middle linebacker. Trust me, we watched him a lot. He was like he was running in quicksand. I was like, why is that guy still there? Tom Brady's in that same position. Basically, Bill Belichick's looking at Tom Brady like, you know what? Our success is a huge function, historically, of his presence in the organization, and we're going to ensure, because Belichick is such a savant of history, that he kind of doesn't put a blemish on the history of Tom Brady. And so I think they're going to pay him. Belichick's going to sign off on it. And overall, when you just talk business sense, $30 million for just the brand of Tom Brady is more than worth it. let alone his style.
Let me tell you where it falls apart, and I don't have the information. Maybe we can look it up as I'm talking. What were they paying Teddy Bruschi those last 2 years? Were they overpaying for Teddy Bruschi?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were.
No, because Teddy used to negotiate his own contract.
They were overpaying for the guy, considering the fact of his productivity and how much of a liability was, major.
We're going to have that information shortly.
Yes.
Paying Tom Brady $30-plus million would be overpaying. And for Bucky's basic, it's a break from the Patriot way. If Tom Brady wants to come back and play for $25 million, $23 million, it makes perfect sense, and I get it. And I would endorse it. I would sign off on it. But paying to do $30 million at this age, no dice. And I love Tom Brady and everything he stands for. And I get why they want to hold on to him. But he needs a lot of pieces around him. He's not worth it to that organization. And now, to me, if you pay him more than $30 million, you are, as Bucky said, you're like saying, oh, the Patriot way's out the window. I played hardball with Richard Seymour, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, blah, everybody. But Tom Brady, we're going to give you a Kobe package on the way out.
But let me ask you this. You talk the Patriot way. The only way that Belichick was able to establish the Patriot way was because of Tom Brady, because he could get up in front of a room of a bunch of big egos and just eviscerate Tom Brady and everybody else sitting there.
Run through the finish line and take less money. Stay true to the Patriot way.
Well, he doesn't have to take less money because he's going to go in the market.
Suitors.
And he's going to get a big-time market that's going to build for him, and he'd be irresponsible.
Well, let me
not take $30 million. The Patriots be irresponsible and let him go.
One, let me respond. I had dinner with Teddy Bruschi a few nights ago.
And I love Teddy, by the way.
Yeah.
So if you see him again, tell him I love him.
He didn't get overpaid. He ain't paid a tab, I'm telling you that. He didn't get overpaid. He showed up with a dusty polo on, so I don't think he made that much. Tom Brady won 12 games this year, including four losses that were to the Chiefs and to the Ravens. Huh? Tom Brady, you got to respect that somehow, some way, with limited weapons out there, was still enough of a presence, enough of a threat for them to win 12 games this year. That, to me, shows a lot. The same thing we learned in the Super Bowl, where the numbers don't always tell the story, because Patrick Mahomes didn't have tremendous numbers, but he won. Yep. Tom Brady is still winning. Quarterbacks are putting up numbers. Number one in passing yards this year, Jameis Winston. Number two, Dak Prescott. How many wins? Come on, y'all.
Not many.
Something about Tom Brady that is showing value beyond the measurables. So we have to respect that, and you got to pay for that. I, if I'm Tom Brady, am not doing this in New England going forward. Unless you pull at my heartstrings in terms of my brand, in terms of roster construction, L.A., I will go to the Chargers. I would even go to the Raiders in Vegas before I would stay still in New England and hope that you give me more than just Edelman.
Man, what I love about this, especially with you guys at the other table, how many times did you get paid for team performance? No, right. Individual, because you evaluated on how you do on individual. So I'm looking at Tom Brady over the last 4 years. Declining numbers in completion percentage, yards per attempt, and passer rating each of the last 4 years.
And talent.
And I mean, like, but it's on him. He's the quarterback. He has to make us better. Going back to week 9, completion percentage 56, passer rating 78. What are we doing? How can we send a check for $30 million across the table to a guy who's underperforming? If Bill Belichick does that, undermining the Patriot way, how can he stand up in front of the team and say that this is a meritocracy, you get what you earn, when everyone pops on the tape and they look at number 12 as a liability?
The way you can do that is you basically can say, hey, this guy won us 5 Super Bowls. He keeps us in contention every single year. And oh, by the way, the Patriot way is because of Tom Brady. Uh-huh. I'm going to tell you this. There's not many other quarterbacks that would be willing to sit in a team setting and have the head coach get up there in front of everybody and say, look at this lowlight. This is absolutely unacceptable. We can't have this. We can't win if we play this way. And that quarterback being happy with it. The only guy that does that is Tom Brady. So that's where the premium is in his ability to be able to basically establish the Patriot way.
Listen, I think all the things you say are true. We just disagree about the value of it. I put a $25 million price tag where he's at right now at 42, 43 years old on all those, his history, all that he's brought to the table. Because trust me, if the numbers and the performance, if we take Brady's name off the back of that jersey and just look at the performance and look at the age, the Patriot, let's move on. they would move on. They dust him off. We've milked this cow. That's all we can get out of this 42-year-old cow. But because he's Tom Brady, there is this added value. Yeah. And so I think that added value is worth 25. When you start talking about $30 million, and I agree with Bucky, truck or trailer, he's not a truck right now.
You're right. He ain't even on the road. Mm-mm. He's flying over him. Looking at this, because this is damn Tom Brady. All right, let's just stay with the numbers. And I'm talking about jersey number, and I'm talking about how much you are going to cost your team. Let's not get caught up in name value or anything, higher or lower. I don't want that. Top 10 quarterbacks by salary. Tell me if Tom Brady performed better in terms of team success, his individual accomplishments, or worse. Russell Wilson, this year. Mm. You would say Brady was worse, but the team, they did the same damn thing, right?
Push, yeah.
Roethlisberger, stop.
Better.
Aaron Rodgers.
A little less.
Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jacoby Brissett because of his little addition. Jimmy G and Matthew Stafford. I named two guys that you could definitively say did better than Tom Brady and the Patriots this year. The rest of those dudes are making $27 million plus, and y'all saying Tom Brady can't get
there? All those guys, maybe except for Roethlisberger, are 10 years younger than him.
Oh, and you'd be young and sorry.
The league,
that's cool.
League pays for potential.
Or production.
Yes.
And 12 wins is production, no?
Well, it is some production. We have to face, it's the AFC East now. I mean, come on. He's playing the AFC East. It's going to be tougher next year because I think Miami's going to get better.
Yeah.
But look, I really struggle with this conversation because Tom Brady, to me, is the embodiment of the NFL.
Right.
But at 42 years old, hey, man, you've made 200-some-odd million. You've won a bunch of games here. There's, just like I say for Dak Prescott, hey, man, there's value to being the Cowboys quarterback. I'm not paying you all this money when you're making money being the Cowboys. There's value to keeping Brady's brand clean and pure right with the New England Patriots rather than 2 years someplace else.
So you okay with the ageism that Matt Ryan can just make $30 million and not perform and have team success?
Yeah.
But Tom Brady, oh, because you're old and doing the same thing.
He's not as good.
What do you mean he's not as good? He won 12 games in the playoffs. Come on, with nothing around him.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington and Bucky Brooks are back. Let's move to Dallas, where things between Dak Prescott and the Cowboys may be getting touchy. Jerry Jones is reportedly expected to use the franchise tag on Dak, who just told the Dallas Morning News to make sure they report that he won't be anywhere near Jerry World until his deal is done. The situation is starting to look like another NFC East contract battle between Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins, who franchised the QB twice before he left in free agency. All right, do we blame the Cowboys for treating Dak like Kirk Cousins?
No. I think it's smart business for the Cowboys. New coach, new system. Everyone has their question marks about Dak in terms of where his ceiling is. So let's go out there, whether it's the non-exclusive franchise tag or exclusive franchise tag, difference being $27 million to $33 million. Hey, you're going to get your bump. You need it. From $2 million and $4 million in total salary all the way to $27 minimum. That's smart business for them. But I like Dak, and I wouldn't have bet on Dak having this kind of response. Throwing the middle fingers up, saying, hey, look, my name ain't Kirk Cousins. I'm not a fourth-rounder sitting there who's happy with just making $44 million in two combined years being franchised. This is a guy who says, you know what? I'm a fourth-rounder, all right. But I know my minimum salary should be what Kirk Cousins made almost in combined years. And he knows his value is tremendous because of the leverage he has in a new situation. There's turnover in the Dallas Cowboys. That just gives him more leverage, and he has numbers to support it and winning stats. I say Dak's going to sit out. He ain't going to be by that star this year.
Look, man, I think this is so disrespectful. I can't believe they're disrespecting the guy. They got him on a peanuts deal for 4 years.
Dak is disrespecting Jerry.
No, I can't believe Jerry Jones is disrespecting Dak in terms of they haven't given him a deal. 4 years he gave them on a peanuts deal, and they couldn't come up with an agreement. So now Dak's turn is to flip the tables. And so we'll talk about the franchise tag and why he should welcome the opportunity to play on it. Because what happens when you play on the tag, the leverage flips to you. So if they sign him to the exclusive franchise tag, it'll be $33.4 million. The next year goes up to $40 million. The year after that, $57.7
million.
So in 3 years, it will be $131.2 million, an average of $43 million. If they want to play that game, They can play that game. But they're messing up because the coach that's coming in is a proven quarterback developer. We saw what he did with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was a guy that we're thinking about the Aaron Rodgers now. He helped nurture Aaron Rodgers to that. But I'll go all the way back to his time as an offensive coordinator in New Orleans. Aaron Brooks played at a high level under Mike McCarthy. If you mess around and let Mike McCarthy put his hands on Dak Prescott and he plays at a level, the deal that you would have paid him is going to be like peanuts to what you're going to have to pay him.
Well, which makes it make sense, though. If I'm going to pay for what I see versus what I think, then you're hoping that Mike McCarthy can be that guy. My answer would be no. I don't blame them for handling the situation. If it's comparable to the Kirk Cousins situation, then we can compare to that situation. But I look at it more so as the Cowboys are probably, if we're taking a really good look at how this all unfolded, they're blaming themselves for this situation that they have for Dak Prescott. Dak has done, during the course of this season, probably everything that he could possibly do for this team to have success. It was the coaching staff that let him down. And the reason why they have a new coach now is because you saw repeatedly and time again, this team get outperformed by the coaching. Not by the personnel, but how they went about their play calling, how they went about their game planning against other teams. So I think
they retained the offensive coordinator, LaVar.
Yeah, that's fine. But again, when you have somebody like Mike McCarthy who can come to the table and bring to the table what he can bring to on the offense side of the ball, really what this is all about is he had a conversation with the front office. They had a conversation, and it's about agreeing to say, listen, let's see what he can do with you. Let's see how this pans out, and we'll go from there. I think it's as simple as that. I don't think it comes down to disrespect in this
game. Oh, it is, though. It has to be, because at some point, how long does Dak Prescott have to pay to get a doggone contract? I mean, we got guys who are lesser talents, lesser players, lesser accomplished players getting deals. I mean, he's not a trailer. It's only two trailers in the league. I mean, it's only two trucks in the league. It's Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes. Everybody else.
Lamar
needs the rest of the squad. He needs the rest of the squad to do what he's doing. He's not a truck by himself. No. They had to overhaul their system for him to do whatever. You can't drop Lamar into any system.
Damn.
So that's by definition.
But you can't agree that people can become victims of circumstance. You know, Dak Prescott is only a victim.
Of
his circumstances. In this situation, he's not getting that contract because of the circumstances that surround him.
He ain't getting the contract because he ain't done enough to earn the money that he wants.
The Cowboys.
His eyes are bigger than his stomach. They wanted to pay the man $32 million. He said no.
I can't breathe when I eat too much. I don't like when my eyes are too
big.
I'm just saying, using Marcellus's point back at him. He read all these guys getting cap hits, top money. Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, Jacoby Brissett, Matthew Stafford, Cam Newton. I'm Dak Prescott, and I'm supposed to wait behind those guys? Absolutely not. I'm not showing up and find somebody who's better than an upgrade.
Okay, DeBucky, and you know what?
But they could.
That's fine. That's fine.
Mess around and get Quincy Carter up in there.
That's fine.
Mess around. Go back. They've seen mess around. Get Drew Henson. Get Chad Hutchinson. We talk about those quarterbacks like they're easy to find in Dallas.
That's my quarterback.
And they need to pay him.
Let me tell you what could happen. Oh, my God. If they got Quincy Carter, they may go 8-8. Just like they did this year. They may miss the playoffs.
How many division titles have they won
with Dak Prescott? In the worst division in football, they'd miss
the
playoffs.
Wait a minute. Now we're going to go
how many division titles?
But last segment, we weren't talking about records in terms of what a quarterback was. But now this segment, we're going to talk about the record.
As it relates to Dak Prescott.
Oh, it does. Right. It relates.
But Jerry Jones should not make the mistake that everybody else
made. It can't be about records. The goalposts always move. So now we're going
to
talk about individual performance. We came in in August, we was like, well, I don't know if he can throw. I don't know if he can get enough yards. So he passes for almost 5,000 yards. Touchdowns at 30. 20-plus yard passes. He goes up to 68 after last year throwing for 38. I mean, what else my man got to do?
What if this head coach and this quarterback don't mesh and you give him that contract? You don't see that being sensible to not pay money just yet?
I don't.
No.
I don't. Not if I'm Dak Prescott. No, I don't. It doesn't matter.
Let me go through your scenario that he plays well under Mike McCarthy. Jerry Jones would love that. He would love to have that problem that Dak balls out and now we have to really pay.
But what if
or does
his
ball out?
But what if he
how
doesn't?
Many years we got to ball out?
But what if he doesn't?
I mean, how many years? I balled out for 4 years.
How many years that Jerry Jones is always talking about his contract?
It's a new coach.
And guess what? Ain't nobody stupid. Dak is like, look, you keep woofing about my contract because you're scared. Look, if you say me and LeVar gonna meet at the flagpole, he come up there talking, he's scared. We're supposed to be throwing these things right now because Dak has already showed that he can go out there and put up the numbers and lead this team.
What if he doesn't play well and you give him that contract with a new coach?
That's everybody.
You have cut the leg. You have effectively done exactly what we said happened to Jason Garrett. You have cut the legs out from under the man that's supposed to lead your team because basically what you're saying is we're going to pay this high-priced dollar for this quarterback that may or may not fit.
Well, that's everybody. We sat here and talked about Jimmy Garoppolo.
That isn't everybody.
That is not everybody.
Yes,
it is because the waiting game ensures that the price goes up. So
it's never
coming
down.
Whatever way you want to play, it's not a based on just how good you are. It's not merit-based fully.
So you just
keep waiting on Dak.
So you go ahead and pay when it goes up with the certainty.
A year ago, we talked about, you can get Dak Prescott for about 25. No, I didn't want to pay 25. Now we're talking about 30. I mean, at some point, you're going to have to write the check.
Yeah.
You're going to have to write the check or they're going to turn off
the lights. Somebody else is going to have to write the check. And the problem for Dak is the money he's asked for, no one else will give it.
Make him non-exclusive.
Not even
then.
Close.
Make him non-exclusive.
Let him get out there. Let him get out there.
Somebody going to pay.
They're going to pay him more than 27, I guarantee you.
Let him get out there.
Let him make that mistake. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's turn to Miami, where we just had a wild Super Bowl, an even wilder Super Bowl halftime show. This is Jay-Z's first year involved with the event, and I thought it was amazing. But some people complained after a video service showing Jay-Z and Beyonce sitting during the national anthem, and others actually thought Shakira and J-Lo's performance was too racy. I want to ask you guys, you think Jay-Z's first involvement with the Super Bowl was a success?
Yes and no. I'll say the no on the taking a seat during the national anthem. That was not a good look, particularly after you've chastised Colin Kaepernick, said we moved past kneeling. You've gotten involved with a league whose brand is attached to patriotism, the military. That was off-brand and seemed like trolling and an intentional thing to win back support. But the halftime show, I'm sorry. Again, everybody knows who I am. God's not finished with me. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it tremendously. Every aspect of it, and I mean every aspect of it, I enjoyed.
Pray for him, Lord. Pray for Whit, Lord.
I enjoyed that.
Hey, man. I was working slow on you, bro. You're 52. Hurry up, God. Get it right. Get my boy right, right? I ain't lying. I'm a lean successful, but I'm with you. I'm conflicted here. One, the whole anthem thing, I just want to say that it wasn't on brand. It wasn't the best look for Jay-Z, but it does highlight something that I think it's just getting taken out of turn. The anthem is not the only measurement of your love for your country. Like, it's a choice. When I played, I used to see fans chugging beers. I used to be stretching. I'm looking in the fifth row. I'm clowning. When the anthem was playing during this Super Bowl, I have my feet up, hanging with my family, not paying attention. Let's stop putting all the onus and focus on the anthem as your only way to show respect for this country or disrespect. Two, the performances. Exactly what I expected. Shakira playing some old songs and dancing, and J-Lo songs, not as old, but still dancing. And I didn't get much out of it. It was like cotton candy for the eyes, you know? Concession food, like whatever. I know what I'm gonna get, and I got it. And I don't think his involvement was a bad thing because most of the response has been positive. So I think in that respect, it beats Maroon 5 and other things that kind of got the thumbs down from most fans.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, man.
That's all I have to say about this now.
KJ fan.
That was a nice visual until you said it. You're ruining the visual.
That's so funny seeing Shakira do that. But anyways, you know, I'm not taking inventory on the flag deal anymore. That's where I'm at. I've moved beyond that because in the end, I think there's been enough opinions on both sides of it where you have service members that said we fight for people to be able to do what they want to do during that moment, and others that make it a symbol. So I'm not taking inventory on that. What I will say is it was a success. If you look at the style of of that performance, it had Beyonce written all on it. So it wasn't just Jay-Z's involvement. It was Beyonce. It was a team effort. You look at the costumes that they wore. If you looked at her last special, it's almost identical. A lot of the way they structured the show was identical. So they are clearly working off of a blueprint that they feel works. People are still talking about it. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it. And I think the measure of success is if you didn't disgrace yourself or disgrace the league shield, then you'd have to assume it was a success.
I'm with you. I think it was a success, but I'm not with you on the guys with the flag. You got to be able to respect the flag in the moment when the flag and what it represents is being celebrated. But I will say this, the fine line that he was walking with the halftime show, I enjoyed it. Yeah, I lived in South America for a couple years and understand
yes,
the culture.
Did.
And yo hablo español para que ustedes sepan. I
can
do all
man,
that kind of
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I went to Brazil yeah. with you.
Aunque les parezca mentira, yo hablo español.
Okay.
This is so here's the thing.
Portuguese.
But the thing is what makes the NFL product different from other sports in the world is it's family oriented. And I'll give you an example. I was over in England calling a game for Westwood One. We're going into the stadium and we happened to talk to a couple of people from London about the NFL. And they were so excited because they could bring their family, their little kids to the game. And they were telling us, they're like, there's no way we could do this with the rival soccer games or rugby games because it's so crazy violent.
Yeah, violent.
The
right.
things that are being said are not appropriate for
right.
them. And so with Jay-Z, that would be my recommendation to him is make sure, if you're going to do this stuff, make sure that it stays family friendly because that is part of what distinguishes.
Oh, like the Raiders NFL games are family friendly, right?
Well, I would say to a degree.
Or the cheerleading uniform.
Have you been to a soccer
game? Yeah, yeah,
let's
yeah,
make
yeah.
sure the cheerleading
yeah, yeah.
uniform.
Cheerleaders are worse than J-Lo.
Have you been to a soccer game? Cheerleaders in Green Bay.
So you been to a soccer game?
Listen.
Yeah, I have.
Have you been one in like South America where soccer's religion?
Trinidad, but.
Yeah, you got Pablo Escobar. They were killing people or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a different animal.
Yeah.
But listen, I think Brady makes a good point in terms of, and I've written about this before, the difference in entertainment industries. Sporting events have a tradition of, hey, I'm taking my young kids to a sporting event. You guys are parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You drop kids off, generally speaking, at a concert. I don't want to be involved with that madness. I'm going to pick y'all up at 11 o'clock. Be right here. And stuff. That's how it was when I was growing up. And so parents drop you off at a concert. They take you to a sporting event. And that's because one's a family event and one is a little debaucherous and rebellious and foolishness. And that's where I would caution the NFL in terms of when you're looking at Jay-Z, his industry has a whole different vibe and yeah. brand than the NFL. Music is about rebellion. And so, again, that's why I don't, Jay-Z's right on brand for music seated during the national anthem. Music from Bob Dylan to everybody is always about counterculture, blah, 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 blah. Sports just aren't that way. Our brand is attached to patriotism and celebration of America, and that's where I think Jay-Z's on an off note. I've heard from some parents legitimately that were like, hey, man, I was watching the Super Bowl with my kids and all the booty shaking and stuff was too much.
Oh, really? So they don't watch regular season games?
Listen,
the cheerleaders
I agree with you.
Come on, man.
It's gotta be said that they were branding it off of the culture in which the Super Bowl was being played as well.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of it was playing off
That's
of
true.
That. The colors of it, the movements of it.
So LeVar, I loved it.
Can't make that. I know you did.
I'm a Shakira fan.
But to his point, in Latin America, it's a little bit different what is acceptable versus...
Yeah.
We're a lot more conservative here in the U.S.
Since you want to go worldly, it's funny Trevor Noah brought this up, and I never caught this. He said, America's the only country that plays its anthem within its borders for pride. Everywhere else, they don't. They just wait till they go somewhere internationally outside their borders, and then they promote their product.
I'm glad you brought that
so
up.
So that's like
I'm glad
clear.
You brought that up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because Trevor Noah isn't
Noah.
From America.
Noah.
Trevor Noah isn't from America.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't give a damn what he says about what
well,
we do over here.
I do.
And everybody thinks it's better someplace else.
That's actually
else.
Called perspective.
There's,
so you don't
everybody
give a damn
thinks it's better someplace else.
I didn't say better.
Our tradition.
He said different.
Well, okay. And okay. You know what? Maybe they should do what we do.
So you guys were standing hand on the heart for the anthem at home when you're watching the
football. I was
extremely reverent in my house.
Stop giving me this respect card for the anthem.
Of the national
2 minutes of nationality. Can you stop?
I was laid on my couch.
I never even took the time to think about that.
Nobody is standing at home.
How many of y'all stopped and stood and put your hand on your heart when the national anthem was playing?
It's different when you're at home
Sunday.
And the only reason we know they didn't stand is because somebody was being disrespectful and filming it.
Exactly.
How dare you?
True.
Why wasn't your hand on your heart?
Why wasn't your hand on your heart?
Bucky Brooks and Brady Papinga are back. Let's move to Russell Wilson, who came up short of the Super Bowl once again with an offense that clearly left Russ feeling a little frustrated. Right before the Super Bowl, Wilson said he wants the offense to be more aggressive and play more hurry-up, citing Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes as a model he'd like to follow. But Pete Carroll is a defense-first coach with a conservative offensive coordinator in Brian Schottenheimer. All right, the question here is, think Russell Wilson is a little bit frustrated with Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I would have to lean that way. Even though I think he's really more upset at himself and his circumstances. As you said yesterday, and I love that you brought out the fact that most people look through the windshield and not in the mirror and at the mirror. He knows that the best Russell Wilson is not good enough in this circumstance. Like when it was the Legion of Boom and it was a lesser version of Russell Wilson, we had team success and we were winning. Now I want to be the reason we're winning, and I'm not exactly that reason. He put up another year that could have been a career year. Certainly by him being the leader of the team and by their record 11-5, this is the best season in combined efforts. However, it's still a sputtering team. This team is not a true Super Bowl contender. And I think this is, remember when Kobe and Shaq split apart and Kobe had those 3-4 years without Shaq? And the frustration continued to grow to the point where he even wanted a trade because he's like, look, it's great to be me and great to be the guy putting up these buckets and numbers, but what is it resulting in? And it's not resulting in a championship or even something close to that, and I think he's frustrated himself.
Yeah, he can be frustrated in terms of style of play because every quarterback wants to throw the ball over the yard. And I can understand his envy of Pat Mahomes being able to play in a 2-minute fast break drill where he's able to throw it all over the yard, tire the defense out, and then he's able to stay in attack mode. But what Pete Carroll is trying to get Russell Wilson to understand, to play complementary football, when we play this style, we give the other team more possessions. If we give the other teams more possessions and we have a weaker defense, we're going to give up more points. Our formula for playing slower has enabled us to play in games where we can win all of these one-score games. Pete Carroll is trying to play winning football. Russell Wilson is trying to play video game football. It's a difference.
But I'll say this, he's not frustrated with Pete Carroll because the guy talks exactly like him. Did you guys hear the mic'd up session? I think it was on Monday Night Football where they had Russell Wilson mic'd up. It was like he had graduated from the psychology school of Pete Carroll, for crying out loud. Very positive. I mean, if it wasn't Russell Wilson's tone of voice, you would have thought Pete Carroll was the one speaking with the microphone. So he's not frustrated with Pete Carroll. But I would say he's absolutely frustrated with how the team is structured because he doesn't have a defense, and that's their biggest problem. I mean, their offense is fine. The fact of the matter is their defense was porous. They couldn't hold up in critical situations. And as an offense, I mean, it's extremely frustrating when you continue to put your team in position to win and ultimately sell the game. Your defense can't go out and finish it. So if there's any frustration, it's going to be at the defense than it would be more than being at Pete Carroll.
I want to speak on behalf of Russell Wilson, and he's upset with you, Bucky, right now, because you said Pete Carroll wants to play winning football mm-hmm. and Russell Wilson wants to play video game football.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson, I guarantee you, if he were sitting here and said, no, I want to play Super Bowl football, Super Bowl winning football.
Really?
And he's looking around at the league, and he's looking at Patrick Mahomes, and in his mind, and it may not be true, but in his mind, he's – everything Patrick Mahomes can do, I can do.
So
and Kansas City's defense until this year had been a liability. Last year, it was a liability, and they almost made it to the Super Bowl if D Ford doesn't line up offsides. And so Russell Wilson saying, hey, man, we can have, because we have a lesser defense. If y'all let me do what Pat Mahomes did. This is in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
You may disagree and say he can't do it, but Russell Wilson has a right to believe, hey, man, I can do that. I can make plays with my legs. I can be the truck here in Seattle and drive this team to a Super Bowl, but Brian Schottenheimer and Pete Carroll won't allow it.
See, this is what they call it in the Twitterverse with the 12s. They say it's the let Russ cook movement. Hey, let Russ cook. Let him do his thing. Let him run around and do all that. They've done that before. They did it for 2 years. 2016, 2017, they did it. Mm-hmm. Russ threw 546, 553 times respectively. Passer rating was 92.6, 95.4, two of his lowest in the career. So individually, he was great, but they didn't win at a higher level, 10, 5, and 1, 9, and 7. So after that last year where he was cooking and had 34 touchdowns, Pete Carroll made a concerted effort. We got to get back to running the ball. And what has happened? They went back to the playoffs. They've been on the verge of being a team that comes, despite rebuilding their team. Russ can go for his, but it ain't going to be winning football.
To my point, less of Russ is more for us. And that's what the formula is. And that's hard to swallow, especially when you have the consequences of a contract like he has. He's the highest paid player in the league. When you get money like that, there is a pressure, a focus on you to be the best. A-Rod talks about this, well, you know, his whole PED issue. It wasn't to become A-Rod, it's because he was A-Rod, and I got to stay up here. When I got paid with the Chargers, I broke my foot before the first game. And most of my teammates were like, tap out, dog, you just got paid. They can't do anything to you. You're Teflon. And I was like, nah, I got to act like I earned this, deserve this, show value. And right now, Russell Wilson's like, look, I'm on a team that is mine. And it's not as good as when it wasn't. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, I'm confused because I don't know why we keep thinking Patrick Mahomes just gets to sit back there and throw the ball all the time. If you look at their stats, attempts-wise, you know, Patrick Mahomes played 15 games and he got hurt. He threw for 484 times versus Russell Wilson threw for over 500. I mean, that's basically a push. Mm-hmm. They're back there doing the same stuff.
Whoa.
Yes.
Let's say that wait. Marcellus weighs 270 pounds.
Win.
Okay. Whatever. Close to. Close.
Okay.
I would carry 270 a lot differently than Marcellus. Yeah. It would look a lot different on me than it does on him. Yeah. He's 6'4". Those are passing attempts you're talking about. Andy Reid is designing one offense, and Brian Schottenheimer is designing the other. Okay. If you throw Patrick Mahomes in Brian Schottenheimer's system and let him throw the set, it's going to be different than the Andy Reid system. And so we can't just compare the numbers. And that was my point to you, Bucky, in terms of they let him drive the offense.
They let him cook.
Off of the recipes designed by Brian Schottenheimer, whoever else was on board there. Darrell Bevell. Not Andy Reid. And that's why I'm saying Russell Wilson, and it may not be right now, frustrated he made, but Russell Wilson is looking around going, if I had what Pat Mahomes had,
in terms
my
of
coach, my head coach sitting next to me cooking up plays.
This show would never end if we did segments on, if I were there, what would happen? Dude, when Dwight Freeney.
They don't do that?
We did it. And I hope y'all didn't listen to it. Every day I'm like, if I played it with the coach with Freeney, and guess what? I didn't. So guess what? I had to deal with what I had to deal with. Russell, if you're great, you deal in spite of what's given to you. You make it. You make lemonade every day.
He was probably second in MVP. He made lemonade.
That's why you shouldn't be frustrated at anybody but yourself if you're going to go there. It's not necessarily at Pete Carroll. He's just saying, I am right now in my feelings because I know that when it wasn't mine, it was better. And now it is his, and it's not. That's roster construction, and that's also the fact that you're not Patrick Mahomes. Can somebody just look in the mirror and say, that's not Patrick Mahomes? Russell Wilson is not the same level.
You've been whatever his age
and I wasn't
30
free.
Years old. You didn't think he was?
I had my moments.
There you go.
You know what?
You're in the same
scheme. I stopped before I did an article like this. I stopped before Russell Wilson did and realized I'm good enough who I am.
Bucky was in Kansas City. Thought he was James Hasty.
I did.
Well, just give me the chance. Just give me the chance.
Give me the chance.
Seriously. LeVar Arrington and Brady Papinga are back. Let's return to the NFL, where a few guys will be looking for some redemption next season. After missing most of the year to injury, Cam Newton is singing the praises of his new coach and front office. Whoa. Meanwhile, Odell Beckham Jr. says he got a slice of humble pie in his first season in Cleveland, but the guy most in need of redemption, Antonio Brown, has been apologizing to the league, the public, and his family this week, posting on Instagram, quote, and me being a God-fearing man, first truly understand that I owe my wonderful kids and the mother of my wonderful kids the world the biggest apology for my public outbreaks through social media and for the hurt that I may have took them through while on my emotional roller coaster that we all are faced with in life. Marcellus, which of these three guys is most likely to bounce back next year?
I would say Cam Newton. First, I started the position. You're not as dependent on others at the quarterback position. Throw the perfect pass, you grab a Pop Warner receiver. Hopefully, he can catch it. Other guys are dependent receivers, OBJ and Antonio Brown. And OBJ, look, quietly has to be questioning his own quarterback and his own situation because Baker Mayfield regressed. And if you're AB, you're not only questioning what quarterback, because you don't have one, what team, because you don't have one, commissioner. When you get back in the league, there's just too many hurdles. So I think Cam Newton has the shortest distance in terms of redemption. If he goes out there, he's healthy. Last time we saw him healthy, he was an MVP candidate. He could go back and be that guy.
That's interesting because I thought in terms of shortest distance, it's 100% OBJ that's best equipped to be able to get to the finish line of success quicker. Cam, we don't know what he's capable of doing after the injury. He hasn't played in some time now. What is the age going to play? And listen, we know quarterbacks can play at an older age, but there are a lot of questions that are surrounding can he mesh with the current coaching staff. Just a lot of questions. Same thing with AB. A lot of off-field questions. Where is he at mentally? Where is he at emotionally? I don't even know that we'll ever see him don another uniform in the National Football League. No. And then there's the wild card in OBJ. We saw him cut up at the LSU championship, and we saw him have a year that was not OBJ-like. But one thing I know about OBJ, he is an ultimate competitor.
And, no, he's not.
Oh, he's a competitor.
No, he's not. He's
oh, he is.
We can agree to disagree on that, but from my angle, I believe he's an ultimate competitor. I think he'll put in, when you heard him say humble pie and I'm coming back and I'm going to get better, that says to me he's probably going to have one of the hardest working off seasons that he has and finds a way to get that type of success going that he had in his time in New York. So I put it on OBJ.
I'm with you because they're all going to be, like you guys said, they're all projects. But the project that you're dealing with Cam Newton is somewhat of a psychological one. It's not as severe as what you're dealing with Antonio Brown, but Cam is a me guy. And when you got a college coaching staff coming into town, having a me guy there that could potentially undercut college coaches' ability to be able to establish a culture, problematic. Antonio Brown, extremely deep psychological issues there that may take a year plus to get over. The problem that Beckham had was his growing. Last year, and he didn't talk about it very much, which to me was impressive because he easily could have had that as an out. Like, guys, my growing's bothered me. His explosive was less. His change.
Oh, you bought all that.
Say again.
You bought all that excuse breaking.
Oh, absolutely, because I saw it firsthand. Yeah. And then I've had a growing.
And I had the same thing.
I had a growing that literally my tendon was off of the bone of my pelvic bone, and all of your movement ability is just completely cut. I mean,
Eric Dickerson ran for 2,000 yards with turf toe all year.
But turf toe's a turf way different animal.
Give me a steel plate and I can run
2,000 yards.
Way different
steel
animal.
Plate, give me that. Give
turf
me that.
Toe is not a growing issue.
Ask Eric Dickerson.
I'm going to tell you this.
ED.
Hold on, but look, Odell. That's the homie. He was hurt. He got hurt in August. Had the same thing, bilateral groin strains.
But that's going to last a
while. Which is really going to be sports hernia-esque.
Yeah.
That said, how do you overcome Baker Mayfield? It's not about just you. It's what Baker is going to do, what that relationship is going to look like. So I'm not slighting Odell. I'm just saying I don't trust you, Baker. What's that going to look like?
I think all three of these guys may never be play at a Pro Bowl level again. All three of them. I'm down on all three of them. Cam Newton saying
he's going to bounce back.
Well, I know. And bounce back to me is playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Oh.
And to me, if you just come back and play.
So this was a trick question.
Somewhat. And I'm about to give you a trick.
One of those test questions.
I'll give you a trick answer. The only one that I see with the talent and the only one that I think is a real dog on the field
is
Antonio Brown. Yeah. And that's why I would bet on Antonio Brown.
What? Because
he's only got one that's
dog? He's not going to get on the field, though.
Who's going to let him? Who's going to let him in their building?
Do it. He's the only one with a shot. Listen, if this guy behaves all offseason, somebody's going to give him a shot.
Oh, yeah, he's getting a shot.
If somebody, and I think the NFL I don't expect any suspension, to be honest with you. He sat out this whole year. I'm not expecting
time served.
Yeah, time served.
Right.
The only one I don't
Come
Cam
on,
Newton,
man.
Not
Cam
a dog.
Newton won
Cam
the
Newton,
MVP.
Not a dog. And then you say, Odell, he's
not
the ultimate
dog.
Competitor. No, let me tell you what competitors do. They show up on time. They ain't wearing watches. They're not trying to be a distraction all the time. There's all kinds of ways to compete.
Oh, no, who you
There's all kinds
about.
Of ways
to compete.
About
what does on time got to do how good you are? You don't mean sorry teammates. People. I know that was at practice early.
Y'all said ultimate competitor.
People
when
that
I say ultimate competitor, I think of Tom Brady. I think of Kobe Bryant. I don't think
that's,
of Odell Beckham.
Wow, you went Mount Rushmore. Can you get
that's
down,
of all time
down the mountain a little
what
bit?
What does ultimate mean?
Ultimate?
I mean,
like it's a lot of levels.
He's the ultimate competitor.
So you're going NFL 10, not NFL 100, NFL 10. And if you're not NFL 10, then you sorry?
I'm just saying
on,
competitors aren't
Those are
constantly
three competitors.
A distraction.
Those are
they're not.
Competitors.
Well, when you start talking about competitors, they're not down on a party boat the week of the week before the playoffs.
Oh,
that's
you, don't,
years
you
better
you
go
don't
to
know
Dallas.
About
you don't know about Dallas?
You don't know about the Hall of Famers I played
yeah.
with?
I know a few.
Those aren't ultimate competitors. Those are winners. They winners. That doesn't mean they're ultimate competitors.
Just because they're Hall of Famer.
Got the same title.
Just because they're Hall of Famer. Listen to this, guys. Just because they're Hall of Famer doesn't mean they're an ultimate competitor.
Thank you.
Your pee can't even get dropped on that.
I was dropping
that.
The mic. Get out of here
with
that,
man.
Get
us
out of here.
Get to practice early.
I was more of an ultimate competitor than any three of these guys.
Oh,
you see how far they got me. So being an ultimate
State.
Competitor on this.
I need some Ball State film.
I
right
done
now.
Heard it all today.
Uncle Jimmy's here to talk about our approval rating for Patrick Mahomes.
You, yeah.
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
It's going to have to be you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that last segment?
Yeah.
The whole
yeah,
segment?
Yeah, man. Wait, what did he say? He's the ultimate competitor?
Get him.
Yeah, the ultimate kitchen warrior. Man, get on up out of here, man. Tell us something we don't know, Mr. Right, Ball State.
Let's talk drill. Patrick Mahomes. Just won his first Super Bowl
undefeated.
And became the youngest player to win the Super Bowl MVP. Mahomes was overshadowed during the regular season by Lamar Jackson and won league MVP. Marcellus.
What?
Think Mahomes takes the MVP back from Lamar next season.
Are you the all-Foreman Grill team MVP? That's
so funny. I had one of those.
In the Super Bowl, man, this is tough right here. Look, I think this is going to be a two-man race for a decade, and I look forward to it. They're obviously staggered in terms of years in the league, but Lamar Jackson is on the same trajectory as Patrick Mahomes. You got camps that are believing in one, camps believing in both. I'm one of the guys who believes in Lamar Jackson, slightly over Patrick Mahomes. We'll see.
I hope next year they go away from the quarterback being MVP. I hope someone like Aaron Donald, Chris Jones is in the race next year. That's my thoughts. All right, Uncle Jimmy. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, I compared Patrick Mahomes to Johnny Gill earlier in the show.
They
you have any
in.
Thoughts?
They
okay. Okay, that was real nice. Let me
get this right again now.
Yeah.
Okay, in your little soliloquy, you said Patrick Mahomes is Johnny Gill.
Yes, my.
And Johnny Gill, and you said that Lamar Jackson is Ralph Tresvant.
Yes.
Mr. Sensitivity.
Yes, I did say that.
And am I right? You said this, right?
Yes.
Now, you know you may have out-dumb-dumb yourself on this one, right?
Yeah, right, get it.
All right, hold on, talk to me now.
Yeah.
Tell me one part about Lamar Jackson that say sensitive.
None. I wasn't thinking that. That wasn't my
Look,
name.
Man, the man wore a T-shirt that said, "Don't nobody care if you worked harder. Walk your ass home."
That ain't
Look, man, let me tell you something that don't nobody want to say.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is a black man with blue eyes.
Liquor store eyes.
Look at him real carefully. Look like one blue this way and one blue that way.
Oh, that's cold. Don't do it like that.
See? And that's where your first mistake is, because mama told you don't never look two people straight in the eye.
I have no idea where you're going.
Look, I'm just trying to tell you, man, look, something's wrong with him.
I compared him to Ralph Tresvant.
What's wrong?
Back on topic.
What's wrong with him?
You said that Lamar thought he was running the NFL. And all it took was 7 minutes for Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. Johnny Gill, to take over the new edition-based NFL.
Yes.
You said only 7 minutes.
Yes.
Nephew, you ain't put in 7 minutes since New Edition came out with Can You Stand the Rain?
Nobody.
If you gonna make an analogy, Mr. Dodo Bird, why don't you make one that the people can relate to? If Lamar Jackson is anybody, Lamar Jackson is Bobby Brown. The heart and soul of the new edition NFL.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Look, every little step he took up and down the sidelines was his prerogative, if you understand what I'm saying. Now, wait. Now, that little album, My Prerogative, huh? Still one of the best-selling albums of all times.
Mm.
It outsold Elvis.
Johnny
See, Bobby
Gill's
Brown's
better.
Still getting high off that album. See, just like Lamar Jackson still getting high off his record-breaking season that made him an MVP candidate.
Mm. He ain't Johnny Gill.
Look, man, let's just hope that Lamar don't get jacked up like Bobby Brown. Let's just hope he stay humble. He don't get out here on MySpace and the Twitters and get to smoking all this social media crack like you and Antonio Brown.
Big trust, baby. Big trust.
Let me get to my approval rating for Patrick Mahomes.
Get
I have
to
him
it.
At 93 GOAT status. I raise him up 3 points in all-time greatness to a 20.
Yeah. GOAT.
Yeah.
Same here. Got him at GOAT. 97. All the people who think I don't love me some Patrick Mahomes. Love him. Just love Lamar Jackson.
I have no idea what the internet is thinking. They're as crazy as Uncle Jimmy. They have him at an all-star at 55%.
Mm. Hey, Uncle Jimmy was born tonight. I just wasn't born last night.
I voted in the third quarter.